Piper shuffles leadership again. The G1000 is certified for the Citation Jet. And Boeing and Airbus both report big orders at Farnborough. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 21st, 2010. The nameplates on the doors at Piper Aircraft are being shuffled again. Kevin Gould, who moved up to CEO just last year from his former post as VP of Operations, oversaw the assembly of a new executive team after the company's sale to Imprimis. He's being replaced by Jeffrey Berger, managing director of Imprimis's Brunei operations, on an interim basis while a permanent replacement is sought. Gould is being praised for his leadership over the past 5 years, and in Piper's release, Berger vaguely predicts, quote, "We know we will benefit from his counsel in the future," unquote. But it's not mentioned whether he'll stay with the company in some other capacity. Garmin says it now has an STC for installation of the G1000 flight deck in the Cessna Citation Jet Model 525. The system is RVSM compliant, enables WAS approaches with Garmin's GFC 700 autopilot, allows adding synthetic vision as an option, and reportedly saves 100 pounds of weight. The first Citation Jet Model 525 entered service in 1993. Serial numbers 1 through 359 are covered by this STC. All installations will be performed by Cessna-owned Citation Service Centers, where you can also get more details. Emirates, an airline based in Dubai, which has made news lately as a big believer in the Airbus A380, placed an order with Boeing Monday for another 30 777-300ERs, worth about $9.1 billion at list prices. That's in addition to 71 of the planes ordered previously, of which 53 have already been delivered and are in service. The planes will be configured for three classes, including 8 first-class suites, 42 business class, and 310 economy seats, with an additional cargo payload of 20 tons. Boeing also announced orders for 40 next-gen 737s from GE Capital Aviation Services, 3 Dreamliners, and 27 other aircraft. Oh yeah? Well, Airbus kicked off Farnborough with sales announcements for 121 new single-aisle and wide-body aircraft on Monday. Announced first was Air Lease Corporation's firm order of 31 A320s and 20 A321s. This marked the first jetliner purchase for ALC, which was formed recently and is led by aircraft leasing pioneers Stephen Udvar-Hazy as chairman and John Pluger as president and COO. GE Capital Aviation Services ordered 60 A320 family aircraft, bringing that leasing company's total A320 orders to 327. And Aeroflot ordered 11 A330-300 widebodies, which will service the carrier's long-haul destinations. Rolls-Royce picked up engine orders from 3 airlines at Farnborough on Monday. The company announced Aeroflot has ordered 24 Trent 700 engines to power Airbus A330s. China Southern Airlines is dropping $130 million for V2500 engines to power 20 Airbus A320s. Both orders include long-term service. And Air Transat has ordered extended total care services and Trent 700 enhanced performance engine kits designed to improve efficiency and environmental performance. The value of that deal was not disclosed. Up next on ANN, Sikorsky is readying an all-electric helicopter. Here's the most practical fly-drive idea to date. And a Florida man has been charged in connection with an airliner bomb hoax. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 21st. I'm Paul Plack. Sikorsky Innovations announced at Farnborough that it has developed an all-electric helicopter technology demonstrator. The Firefly will be unveiled this coming Monday at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh as part of the World Symposium on Electric Aircraft. The company says the demonstrator will be one of the main attractions in the Aviation Learning Center, along with other state-of-the-art commercially available and prototype electric aircraft. The demonstrator is based on the S-300C, but with a propulsion system based on a high-efficiency electric motor and digital controller from U.S. Hybrid, coupled to a lithium-ion energy storage system from Gaia. The power plant is said to be capable of 200 horsepower. First flight is anticipated later this year, upon completion of ground tests and safety of flight reviews. Mark Miller, VP of Research and Engineering for Sikorsky, admits, quote, "With current energy storage technology, payload and endurance will fall short of typical helicopter performance. These values will grow as rapidly maturing technology is integrated on the demonstrator," unquote. With all due respect to the Super Sky Cycle, flying motorcycles will not be embraced by most pilots as an effective way to provide ground transportation after reaching an airport. But this just might. Motopod LLC has been awarded a grant from the Wolf Aviation Fund for its work to develop a patent-pending belly pod that allows pilots to carry a street-legal motorcycle beneath a standard four-place airplane. The company says that after landing, it takes just 90 seconds to remove the motorcycle, unfold the handlebars, and ride away. The streamlined pods are constructed from high-performance composites and include a winch system, molded cradles, and other components to help load, store, and remove the motorcycle, which is modified to make it lighter, spill-proof, and foldable. It provides highway performance for two adults, yet quickly folds to store in the pod beneath the airplane, along with two helmets. The pods are currently available for the Vans RV10. The company is working toward FAA certification and says products will soon be available for the Cirrus SR22, Cessna 182, Diamond DA42, and other common production airplanes. Belly pods are available for about $8,000, and the company offers the folding motorcycle conversion for about $5,500. This won't turn heads at Sturgis, but it might be a very practical way to get around. See it on display next week at AirVenture. A man who claimed to have dynamite aboard a transatlantic flight April 27th has been indicted on charges of interfering with flight crew members and making threats. Derek Stansberry of Riverview, Florida, will be arraigned next week in U.S. District Court in Bangor, Maine. He's accused of passing a note to a flight attendant on a Paris to Atlanta flight, saying he had a fake passport and TNT on board. The plane was diverted to Bangor. The Associated Press reports that Stansberry's attorney says he has no criminal record and that the actions were out of character for the 27-year-old. He remains free on $20,000 bond. Still ahead, SpaceX is happy with the U.S. Senate this week. The Tuskegee Airmen receive a conspicuous tribute. And is it too soon for a space tourism price war? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 21st. I'm Paul Plack. Space Exploration Technologies, a.k.a. SpaceX, this week applauded the U.S. Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee for its unanimous bipartisan approval of the NASA Authorization Act of 2010. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk says this landmark legislation ushers in a new era in human spaceflight by embracing the commercial sector as a full partner and recognizing commercial crew services as the primary means of astronaut transport to the International Space Station. Quote, "We are pleased that the Senate Commerce Committee has recognized that the best and only near-term option for eliminating America's reliance on the Russian Soyuz for astronaut transportation is the development and use of commercial systems, such as SpaceX's Falcon 9 and Dragon spacecraft. For about the same amount that is currently being spent on purchasing seats on Russian launch vehicles, we can create thousands of high-tech, high-paying jobs right here at home," unquote. SpaceX successfully launched its Falcon 9 rocket carrying a Dragon test spacecraft last month. The first demonstration flight with a fully operational Dragon spacecraft is targeted for late this summer. Commercial space tourism hasn't even left the launch pad yet, and already there's a price war. Extraordinary Adventures, in conjunction with Rocketship Tours, is taking reservations for space flights on the Lynx, X-Core Aerospace's fully reusable rocket-powered suborbital vehicle. The team claims the lowest published price in the industry, offering a complete package of training, medical screening, and suborbital flight for $95,000. That would be less than half the price of Virgin Galactic at $200,000 and $7,000 less than Space Adventure's $102,000 ticket to hitch a ride on an unpiloted robotic flight to space. The company projects the Lynx will make its first civilian liftoff in early 2012, after a thorough and successful flight test campaign. The Lynx is designed to be able to self-launch from a runway and fly to the edge of space, return and land like a plane, be refueled and pre-flighted, then turned around quick enough to allow 4 missions per day. 4 onboard and several ground-based cameras will produce a video memento for customers. The deposit is $20,000. This commercial spaceflight thing gets hipper every day. The Commercial Spaceflight Federation says another big company has joined. This time it's Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne coming aboard as an associate member. The company has 3,100 employees across Florida, California, Alabama, and Mississippi, including more than 1,800 in Southern California. Company President James Mazur commented, quote, "Participation with CSF demonstrates our determination to maintain the country's aerospace technology base with proven commercial capabilities to transport crew to low Earth orbit. We are especially pleased to see NASA's desire to make new investments in liquid propulsion and fundamental propulsion research," unquote. And finally, Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear joined local leaders last Friday to unveil a sign designating the entire I-75 corridor in Kentucky the Tuskegee Airmen Memorial Trail. The 191-mile stretch of highway runs from the Ohio border to the Tennessee border. Beshear commented, quote, "The Tuskegee Airmen revolutionized modern military standards by flying beyond enemy lines and racial boundaries. These soldiers never let racism and bigotry ground their skill, heroism, and patriotism. We honor their brave commitment to the safety and freedom of our nation," unquote. Kentucky is the first and only state to install signs naming an entire interstate system in honor of the Tuskegee Airmen. The sign unveiling recognized not only the nearly 1,000 pilots who got their wings through the program and the 381 who served overseas, but also the invaluable contributions of nearly 14,000 ground support personnel. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Greg Principato, president of Airports Council International North America, about the significance of the federal court decision that cleared the way for tiered landing fees to incentivize airlines to reduce congestion. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.